Maurice Strong, a Canadian oil and businessman, was the president of Canada's Power Corporation, pushing the climate change agenda in the 1960s. What you may not know is that Maurice was also a big power player in Tavistock's social engineering machine, and he held the conference of 1980. He gathered occult think tankers, social engineers, cybernetic experts, and futurologists to discuss what they wanted to see happen in the 1980s. Here is a list for the Tavistock Conference of 1980. Women entering the corporate world, racially mixed breeding, the rise of Oprah Winfrey to normalize mixed marriage, youth rebellion, lesbian moms, the emergence of the fake green movement, the importance of meditation and Kabbalah to confuse Christians, the infiltration of hip-hop with gangster rap, and the New Age movement. What do you think, America? Were they successful in the 1980s? Amazing, isn't it? Do you think it is a coincidence that we started calling America the homeland after 9/11? And then we had Showtime with its popular show, Homeland? Did you know the word homeland comes straight out of the Communist Manifesto? These social scientist wizards understand you better than you understand yourself. They can profile any audience to accept lies, and they know you won't even question it, unless, of course, you have broken your programming. When we think of the word intelligence, we usually think Mossad, CIA, MI6, but we never think Tavistock. Did you know that the majority of CIA and MI6 operatives get their training at Tavistock? Here is a list of what they learn. Metaphysics, mind control, behavior modification strategy, ESP, hypnotism, esoteric knowledge, Satanism, and Manichaean theology, which is understanding the duality of good and evil. So how did this happen? Let's go back to the beginning. Our Tavistock story begins in the late 1800s with Arthur Sharep Spiridovich, a white Russian loyalist who was anti-communist. He was a Russian general and claimed to be well-versed in international affairs and predicted huge world events. In 1902, he warned kings and dukes about future assassination attempts, and he was right. He also predicted the First World War due to his knowledge about the Hidden Hand, in which he called a secret group of 300 Jewish families controlling the world events. Spiridovich emigrated to New York and wrote the book Secret World Government. He was found dead in his hotel room in 1926 at the age of 59 from suicide. So who was this secret group of Jews? Spiridovich was talking about the Committee of 300. Walter Rathenau, a German politician, once said, 300 men, all of whom know one another, guide the economic destinies of the continent and seek their successors from within their own environment. Dr. John Coleman was a British intelligence officer who gained access to a private British museum in London. It was here that Coleman discovered the highly classified documents of Tavistock. It angered him so much he spent 5 years reading and deciphering them and wrote the book, The Tavistock Institution of Human Relations. Tavistock was secretly started in 1913 and was funded by the British monarchy, the Milner Group, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds. Tavistock's first purpose was to create propaganda to start a war between Britain and Germany. The motivation behind the war was inspired by Germany's rapid progress on surpassing Britain with economic power. Tavistock's second purpose was to infiltrate America by establishing a centralized bank, removing the gold standard, and the degradation of women and religion. This group's mission was to establish a complete breakdown of America's values, to enslave us. To jumpstart the program, they hired Edward Bernays. Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud and was the father of public relations. He wrote 3 books, Crystallizing Public Opinion, Propaganda, and The Engineering of Consent. Bernays believed people were so irrational, and he believed so strongly in crowd psychology, that he could convince masses of people to do almost anything. Edward Bernays was a Tavistock coach and advisor to President Woodrow Wilson. Wilson ran and won the presidency on the promise that he would keep America out of war. But with the infiltration of Bernays, he persuaded Congress to declare war on Germany and started the First World War. And on December 23, 1913, while all Americans were getting ready to celebrate Christmas, Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act, a law that created the Federal Reserve System, the central banking system of the United States. This led to effectively abolishing the gold standard. It was now 1933, and Tavistock's mission was already 50% complete. The Central Bank of America was responsible for the Great Depression and the global financial crisis of 2007. The Federal Reserve violates constitutional law because their policymakers are handpicked by people behind the Federal Reserve. Their meetings are secret, and there is no transparency to what they are doing. In 1932, an outspoken critic of the Fed, Louis T. McFadden, said, "We have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board and Bank. This evil institution has impoverished and ruined the people of the United States through its corrupt practices of the money vultures who control it." After the wars and the establishment of the central bank, America started to see moral decline through what historians call the new morality, or otherwise known as the birth of liberalism. It was President Ronald Reagan that once said, "If fascism ever came to America, it will come in the name of liberalism." In the 20s, known as the Decade of Decadence, we saw the emergence of the flapper. Women were now cursing, smoking, drinking, wearing revealing clothing, and the term loose entered into the zeitgeist. This was a cause and effect directly from advertising and Tavistock music, which was pushed from these think tanks. In the 1930s, homosexuality and lesbianism became rampant, not out of any inner or latent desires, but as a means to shock the old establishment during the Great Depression. During the Great Depression, the nation was numb. G.K. Chesterton, a writer and philosopher, said, "The moral, spiritual, racial, economic, cultural bankruptcy we are in today is not some social phenomenon, but rather the outcome of a carefully planned Tavistock program." The birth of MIT, the National Institute of Mental Health, the Stanford Research Center, and Wharton School of Economics were founded by Dr. Kurt Lewin, John Rawlings Rees, and Margaret Mead, arguably the best Tavistock social engineers of all time. Believe it or not, through the minds of these leaders came the brainwashing and propaganda for World War II, Vietnam, the Korean War, the two Gulf Wars, and every war that followed after. According to Dr. Coleman, the best-kept secret and research that came out of Tavistock is the three-system response. The three-system response is how the population reacts to stress resulting from a contrived situation. A contrived situation is a crisis management exercise for world leaders. During a crisis, the first response is superficiality, which is the condition that manifests when a group reacts to a threat by adopting shallow advertising and slogans, which they attempt to pass off as ideals. Because the cause of the crisis is not identified, it leaves the population confused, and this phase can last as long as the controller wants it to. The second phase is called fragmentation, in which panic strikes and social cohesion falls apart. This results in society to break up into small groups, forming different attitudes and beliefs due to media manipulation. No one is on the same page, no one is getting the truth, and people become divided and fragmented from each other. This causes civil unrest, protests, verbal fights, physical fights, all caused by humans failing to identify the cause of the crisis. The third phase is called the fantasy trip. This is what Tavistock calls dissociation. In this last phase of the psyop, People have been so traumatized from the false flag event that they block it out or lose interest and all hope in humanity. This dissociation causes people to allow their liberties to get taken away, which ushers in communist legislation without a fight. Julius Caesar once said, "Divide and conquer." The powers that be have been using contrived situations and false flag events to shock and traumatize the world since the beginning of time. The JFK assassination, Waco, the O.J. Simpson car chase, Columbine, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Las Vegas shooting, and don't even get me started on crisis actors. You can research that one. Do you think all of these shootings at schools and post offices, churches, concerts, and shopping malls were all just coincidence? According to Dr. Coleman, they were carried out by mind-controlled subjects who were carefully profiled, sought after, and put on dangerous mood-altering drugs like Ritalin, and controlled by DARPA computer programmers. Remember the national story about Molly Tibbetts, the jogger who disappeared for a month and was found dead in a cornfield from Iowa? At first, her alleged killer said he heard voices in his head, and the media had a heyday with him saying that. Now you cannot find that anywhere on the internet. Did you know Molly Tibbetts' dad was an architect for the Clinton Foundation? He actually designed the orphanages in Haiti. Also, do a quick internet search of killers who hear voices, and it is astonishing. I also recommend the book Program to Kill by David McGowan. When I think about what has happened to women in America, it is easy to see how it has been done in hindsight. From the flappers to pornography, we can see that Tavistock is really good at what they do. Remember 50 Shades of Grey? This was another mind control experiment that you could do in your own bedroom. The pain and fear that comes with sadomasochistic sex causes the brain to flow the blood away from its executive decision-making areas, the frontal cortex, which results in an altered state of consciousness in both the giver and the receiver, like doing cocaine. Do you ever wonder why certain books or movies get propped up? This always raises a red flag for me. Herbert Hoover was the 31st president of the United States. He was a Republican and was reluctant to become involved with the Federal Reserve. He believed in strengthening American business and believed that individual reliance on banks would weaken the economy. There is speculation from Coleman that his reluctance caused the stock market crash of 1929, which led America into the Great Depression, as a punishment to him and the American people. Sounds like history definitely repeats itself. Tavistock engineered the Cuban Missile Crisis as an attempt to sell the FEMA program to JFK. It was another rejection by a president, and Kennedy died that same year. Tavistock immediately signed a contract with NASA to ramp up public opinion on space. Ronald Reagan was another president who was reluctant to fall in line and had an assassination attempt on him. During Reagan's presidency, the Committee of 300 had a secret meeting to make sure that after this presidency, they remained in control with their candidates of their choice. So who was next? George Herbert Walker Bush. He was the former director of the CIA and vice president to Reagan. He was a member of Skull and Bones and was married to Barbara Bush, who keeps fetuses in jars in her home, and who is allegedly Aleister Crowley's daughter by a striking resemblance. Bush gave the famous New World Order speech following the Gulf War of 91. Next, we had a Rhodes Scholar, Bill Clinton, and then George W. Bush, and then Obama. With these presidents comes more social engineering, more false flags, and more corruption at the highest levels. John Coleman said, "We have been brainwashed into believing that communism is the greatest danger we Americans are facing. This is simply not so. The greatest danger arises from the mass of traitors in our midst. Our Constitution warns us to be watchful of the enemy within our own gates. These enemies are servants of the Committee of 300 who occupy the highest positions within our government structure. The United States is where we must begin our fight to turn back the tide threatening to engulf us, and where we must meet and defeat these internal conspirators. Trump campaigned hard, and one of his messages was, drain the swamp. This is exactly what he was talking about. He wants to remove the evil from within the government. Out of all the presidents, Trump has been the most difficult for Tavistock. He was discussed in a couple of Tavistock journals written by James McKay, the director for Tavistock Coaching. In 2016, he expressed concern that based on Trump's personality, he would be very difficult to coach. And in 2018, he discussed how Trump is like a trickster. Is this a confession that Trump hasn't fallen in line, but has been steps ahead of the committee? Another modern goal of the Committee of 300 is the emergence of the technotronic era. In the book, Between Two Ages by Brzezinski, he says, the technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite, unrestrained by traditional values. Soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. That's creepy. And who is his daughter? Mika Brzezinski, the talk show host on Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough. This is the guy Trump accused of murdering one of his staffers. The book by Brzezinski also discussed future human cloning and robotoids, people who acted like people and who seemed to be people, but were not people. There are psyops within psyops. Disinformation is everywhere. Corrupt people run amok in our government. This is Tavistock. Today, people are still distracted with what the elite call the bread and circuses. Baseball, football, endless Hollywood, and Social Security. Nothing has changed. The program is so good. If you were to try to explain this to somebody, they would think you are crazy. That is how good the programming is. Because after all, if you don't program your mind, someone will program it for you. And it makes me remember the Tavistock whistleblower, Sviridovich, the man who took his own life at the age of 59. Or did he? Did he know too much? In 2020, looking back, it seems to me that he knew a lot. I will leave you with that to do your own critical thinking. Until then, stay safe out there. And don't stop questioning the world around you.